B-Pod Studios.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hello again.
So,
what up?
Hi.
We're back.
We are.
Welcome in, Zolak and Bertrand, on a Wednesday from our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. We have a guest out of the gate, right from the jump.
Thank you for accommodating.
Sure.
I do appreciate it. I didn't even have a chance to get my Bose headphones out.
Oh.
Shout out to Bose.
Yeah, but you had a chance to put an Emily sweatshirt on the way in.
Wow.
Ouch.
Just kidding.
Wow. Ouch. It's a nice harsh summer look, don't you think?
Yeah, it's not summer.
A little early in the calendar.
Problem is, it's windy out and 40 out.
It's actually really nice out, I thought.
I really want to fill my hands from standing on Gillette Stadium field for half an hour.
Mediocre. Bert, what's going on? Big draft this week for everybody in the league, not just the Patriots.
Exciting week, yeah. I mean, I think the beauty of this year's draft is the mystery. Like, I think, you know, like the last 3 years, I can tell you, like at this point, a day before the draft, we knew.
You knew the top 10.
We knew who the first two picks were going to be, right? Like 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, it was Kyler and Bosa.
Yep.
2 years ago, it was Burrow and Chase. Last year, it was Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. This year, I mean, legitimately, like when I'm talking to teams Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week, like they don't know who's going to go first overall. And that's a new thing. Like it hasn't been that way in a while.
How do you think it's trending? A kid Walker from Georgia?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the one thing you do hear is that Doug Peterson does want an offensive lineman to put in front of Trevor Lawrence.
He should.
It makes sense if you look at the way that those Eagles teams were built with Jason Peters and Lane Johnson at the tackle spots. So, like, I know that they're finalizing the decision with the owner today. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think Trayvon Walker would probably be the leader in the clubhouse right now. I just, you know what I don't get? I don't get why, like, Aiden Hutchinson, what?
Your phone is still on.
Yeah.
Is it?
What are you going to call?
You don't hear it? This has been
That's
going on for,
me.
Like, 5 minutes.
Oh, you know what? That's my freaking... I'm sorry. There you go. It's my tape recorder.
That's what it is.
That's what it was. Sorry about
Thanks
that.
Thanks for swearing.
I heard that, too. Did I swear?
Who swore?
I didn't swear.
They did.
What did he say?
Oh, God, we're off to a flying start.
What did he say? I didn't even notice it.
You dumped it. Right?
Oh, that wasn't a real swear, though.
Yeah,
there we go.
Restart.
The stream wins again.
Restart.
Tape recorder.
I was like, what
was
is that?
Swear on
it's
the
a tape recorder. What else would you call it?
No, you have a tape recorder?
Well, it's a tape recorder right
the
there.
Voice recorder. Yeah, like for.
Yeah, you swore. We just listened to it.
Oh, boy.
Was it That's a real okay. swear, though, or was it like kind of like a half?
It was vulgar. It was the worst thing I've ever heard.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry for offending you.
Remember your first year filling in on a July? There was like two July days. Like when
there was like a Saturday.
Yeah, there was the inception of the station.
Yeah. No,
and
I
you
remember,
just, you let the S word fly like crazy, man. Like,
there was a Saturday where I hadn't done like a 3 hour show before and they had me on.
He out dumped the dump button.
Yeah. I had to very much train myself not to swear on the air.
They almost pulled him off air.
Sorry,
like Ben
T-bone.
Coates. Like the day Ben Coates was pulled off air.
Not good.
We'll track
not
that good. One down by the time he leaves.
Okay. All right. Very good. Back to what you were saying, though. So it's been a long time since number one was up in the air.
Right.
That doesn't really concern the people of New England, though.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
Not really a major concern here. We don't really care all that much who goes number one. Where will the Patriots draft, in your opinion? Will they stay where they are? Will they go back? You had some information this week, as did Adam Schefter, about a lot of teams wanting to move back, but not a lot of teams wanting to move up.
Yeah, and I think really where they're at right now, you know, when these teams that are lower than I would say 13 are getting calls, right? So they'll get calls from teams in the top 10, and the teams in the top 10 will ask, like, would you be open to the idea of coming up? Because those teams want to build capital later on. And the answer that those teams are getting is, no, we don't want to we don't want to come up, but keep us in mind if you want to come up from the bottom, from the top of round two, to come and get the fifth year option on a player at the end of round one. And so I think the meat of this year's class, like the real strength of this year's class, is in this, is on Friday. Like, because you don't have the super blue chip talents at the top. Like, there's no Miles Garrett, there's no Trevor Lawrence, there's not one of those guys at the very top. And like, I think like when it starts to even out is like right where the Patriots are in a good spot, because
yeah,
that's right when it starts to even out a little bit. And then it stays flat for a while.
Right.
And so the second and third rounds, like, I think teams would rather, I think if you ask.
But wait a minute, though. So Beadle started it off there saying that, okay, it doesn't really concern Patriots fans, like, who's going number one. But if you've got 10 different teams saying there could be 10 different scenarios at the top of this draft, and there are teams that want to get out, there might be a player that New England loves in the top 10 that they think will not be there in the top 10, but might be there around 12. And because of
the price,
lack of
maybe
the
you move up,
type
right.
of price you're going to have to give up, as opposed to last year to jump to 12 to get.
Wait, like, do you think that but that would imply, though, that the player who could go one could
imply.
Also go 12?
Yes.
That's a big range.
But if you've got a top three grade on a player,
but
and
I
he's
don't
a
think,
10.
But I don't. This is a year where I don't think there's a huge difference between like 5 and 20.
That's what I'm saying. This is a year they could jump.
But are the players being considered for that first pick also potentially going 12th or 13th? Or
no.
Even 10th?
No.
Draft?
But I think some teams view those guys that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get that, which, like, would lead to the problem that exists right now.
I mean,
now.
Like, I think the best way I can explain it to you is I had a couple teams tell me that you could take this entire class and no one would have gone in the top 12 last year. Like, not one of the guys that you'll see picked on Thursday would go in the top 12 last year. Now, last year was a really good year.
Right.
You had five quarterbacks in the top 15. You had, Jamar Chase,
yeah.
Kyle Pitts, Penei Sewell, Patrick Surtain, J.C. Horn, Micah Parsons. Like, the top of the draft was really strong last year. You don't have those sorts of players this year. So this is a bad year to be picking 5th. It's not a bad year to be picking 20th. It's not a bad year to be picking 25th. But if you want to move back from 20, it might be hard to do, because the difference between 20 and 30 or 30 and 40 isn't huge. Like, I think the best way to explain this is, if you were a team right now, you would probably rather have 5 picks on Friday alone than have 3 in the first 3 rounds. Does that make sense?
Not normally, no. It doesn't make sense.
I'm saying, like, that's just the makeup
right.
of the class.
I understand what you're saying, though.
Where you can get good, solid starters. Are you going to get, like, a cornerstone guy that you're going to build around? Maybe not.
Okay. All right, so you're telling us the draft sucks.
No.
Everybody go home.
It's good, solid.
No.
But like, you can walk out of this class. Like, I think a successful draft would be this year 3 or 4 really solid starters, but not probably not a superstar.
Okay. Is there pressure on Bill Belichick to get this draft?
Oh,
right?
Yeah. And the owner, more or less put it on him, didn't he? You listen to what Robert Kraft said in Florida, it was more or less like, we need to draft better. And I think last year could be a good turning point. I think a lot of the improvement for the Patriots this year has to come internally. And part of it's going to be this draft class. You know what another part of it is, though? It's the continuing to develop the last two. It's like, where's Kyle Duggar now? Where's Christian Barmore now? Where's Ramondre Stevenson now? Does Ronnie Perkins give you something in year two? Does Cam McGrone give you something coming off the ACL? I think that's where, like, a lot of the team's improvement has to come from. And I don't know, guys. Like, there are a lot of these players. Have you guys noticed this? Like, I don't think anybody's pointed this out. Have you noticed, like, some of these guys have flashed as rookies and, rookies, first and second year players, and then have sort of tailed off? Like, Chase Winovich flashed early.
Early.
Sony Michel flashed early. Like, Josh Uche flashed a little early. And it's like a weird trend that's I've just sort of noticed when we've been talking about some of these young players, where there have been a bunch of guys they've drafted here who flashed early on, and we thought they were going to become something, And then a couple of years later, we're talking about the guy and he's not playing anymore. You know what I mean? So that's just sort of a trend I'm paying attention to. And I don't know if it's a player development thing or maybe they're asking too much of guys. I don't know what it is. But I think it's something worth keeping an eye on because this is such a critical time when it comes to player development.
Who's the best example of that? I'm trying to think.
Winovich, I think, is a good example of it.
I just don't feel like he flashed early.
He did. He had some good edge pressures early in his career. Yeah, like he was playing more and in rhythm more.
Like Sonny Michel looked like he was going to be an offensive centerpiece as a rookie. Like he was a good player on a Super Bowl championship team.
Yeah, I don't feel like Sonny Michel was ever bad.
But did he progress? Did he become like the bell cow for the offense?
No, he didn't.
Right,
he wasn't worthy.
Like who's getting better?
For what he gave the team, he was not.
That's
worthy
my
of
question.
The first
is
pick,
like, that's my
first
question is pick. Who's getting better? And that's why to me, like the coaching staff situation is so critical because like so much of where the Patriots go now, I think is going to be like how does that class that looked so good last year, how like not and it's Mac obviously is a huge part of it. How does Christian Barmore come along? What do you get from Cam McGrone? What do you get from Ronnie Perkins? What does Ramondre Stevenson look like in year two? Like, I think that's a huge part of this. Because if you go back, if you roll the clock back like 6-7 years, like remember guys like Logan Ryan and Malcolm, those guys came through the system and they got better. Daron Harmon.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's not even like just the great players. Like there were a lot of guys who gave you like a lot of like quality sense.
Trey Flowers.
Like guys that like progressed. And I how many examples do we have? So maybe it's not just not drafting well. Are they developing players the way they used to?
Let's pick it up with Burt Breer on the other side. How important this draft is for the Patriots, the pressure that's on Bill Belichick, and also what Burt's dream scenario would be for the Patriots. We'll get to that coming up next.
What's wrong with you guys? The amount of that they got to take.
Look, if the beer costs $7, then I want three.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Opinionated.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over with a tire.
More headlines in 30
minutes. Like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Phone lines open.
Can you not play this anymore?
779-0985. All you draft people, this is a good day for you. We got Bert here.
If you're going to play that, play the Applebee's song too. If you're going to play TikTok songs, play them.
We got Bert today. We've got Phil tomorrow. We've got Barthy on Friday. We're loaded up on your draft people. Draft people, you could come to
you
us
got draft? You
and
want
get
football?
Your real
you
draft
here.
Takes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we have Bert here. Bert, what's your best case scenario, your dream scenario for the Patriots over the course of this draft? Starting tomorrow night, Vegas. It's okay.
Thanks. I can't criticize T-Bone now because he got me for.
Yeah.
So now we're even.
You did. You
now,
swore.
Now we're even.
You swore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think you have to come out of it with a corner at some level. And I think I heard you say the other day, maybe, Beetle, that you weren't hot on the idea of getting one.
Against the corner. I'm becoming anti-corner.
I think.
But at 21, I think you'd be pro-corner.
I think.
No, I'm at 21, I want. And I've now convinced myself that finding a receiver in the first round would be great.
I get nervous at a second round corner.
Here's what I would say. I would say the three positions a lot of people talk about for the Patriots in this draft are corner, offensive line, linebacker, receiver. Those four things, I think, if everyone has picked one of those four for what the Pats should do.
Right. I'll speak in generalities then. In generalities, I think you need to get better at corner.
Yeah.
I think you need to get faster in the front seven. I think you need to get help for Mac Jones.
Okay, see, the thing that you said third is what I prioritize first.
And
so for me, it's offensive line or receiver in the first round, and I will think that that's great.
So here's the issue. The issue is, to me, like, there's a reason why the Jets right now are acting with so much urgency to get things right around Zach Wilson, because they know, like, that point where you have to make a decision on your quarterback is right around the corner.
Yeah.
And I think you could argue that the Dolphins waited too long to get aggressive. And now they basically have 1 year. They went and got Teron Armstead and Tyreek Hill. Now they have basically 1 year to figure out whether or not they got it right on Tua, because really the critical point with your young quarterback is after year three. That's decision time, right? So, like, to your point, I think one thing that you can do, the one thing that's important over the next 2 years, is getting answers on Mac Jones and whether or not he's worth whatever a contract is going to cost at that point, which could be, again, what, $55, $60 million a year based on the way these things are going. And so, like, I think that's a huge piece of, like, the overall picture. Like, what you need right now, I think, is a corner. You need to get faster in the front seven. And I think the needs on offense may be a little less pressing than the needs on defense. But, like, from a global standpoint, getting an answer on your quarterback over the next 2 years, there's nothing more important.
Well, that's why I want to do that. That's why
if you get help for him, like, if you get help for him, then you're going to be able to get a clearer look at who he is.
And I don't want to say that you're wrong on what you said about the defense, because you're absolutely right about both of those things. I just put that on the back burner.
Yeah,
I do. And I think part of it is what I told Zoe, in that, does anyone think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year? Do they need to build the perfect team? Do they need to build a championship roster? Or do they need to find out what their offense can be with Mac Jones? And so if you maybe don't get top-notch starter-level production from one of these draft picks in year one, maybe they're better players in year two, the opposite of what you're talking about, Bert, which is guys have fallen off, then you got to draft them now, not a year from now.
Your problem is, if your defense sucks and you're playing from behind constantly, that's going to affect
your problem. You're an injury away at the corner position from having a disaster.
I think that's...
And like,
I think
Jalen Mills goes down, think about that.
Like, you're relying on Jalen Mills
and Malcolm Butler, that has the big question mark, and Jonathan Jones off injury,
and Butler, who, like, the Cardinals signed last year. And I can tell you guys this, like, the Cardinals got to training camp last year and were like, oh crap, this guy isn't going to hold up. Like, they had high hopes for him. They bring him in, they go through spring with him, and I can remember being there in August and they were like, this guy isn't going to hold up through November or December, and he wound up retiring before that. But I think that that's a very real thing, too, is, like, can you get Malcolm Butler through the year?
Yeah.
You know, so...
And that's with the rotation in.
Yeah. And corner's one of those positions where there's going to be a drop-off. Now, I know we have the board up there on TV, right?
Yeah.
Dax Hill isn't really a corner. I think it's the top six guys, and then there's a drop-off, right? So, like, the way most teams see it, those top two, Gardner and Stingley, who won't be available to you, are the first group. There's a drop-off, then it's McDuffie, then there's another drop-off, and then I think you get the next three guys, Booth, Gordon, and Elam. Elam, to me, like, now I mocked Elam to the Patriots. He's an interesting one. I think if McDuffie's there, that's an easy one for
me.
But
at 21, you got a shot at the top five, one of the top five guys.
I think right? So, yeah.
Okay, so that's in play. That's why supporters in play then.
So I think if McDuffie falls to you, that my dream, you asked what the dream scenario is.
We talked about it yesterday.
I think it's McDuffie.
Yeah.
I mean, he's that little guy. He's a little guy.
But I've had people tell me.
Zoe says he doesn't care that he's Mensa level smart,
okay,
and all of that.
Well, I'll say
so
this.
So is N'Keal Harry.
And I know that there might be some PTSD off of those stories, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had teams tell me that Trent McDuffie was the most impressive draft prospect in meetings they've had in 5 years.
Jesus.
And, like, the way people talk about him, I think you guys probably played the audio by now. I said it on TV the other night. The way people talk about him reminds me of Devin McCourty. And I'm not saying they're the same as a player, because McCourty's bigger than McDuffie. And I don't know if McDuffie can play safety the way that McCourty wound up playing safety after starting at corner. But, like, I think, like, instincts, playmaking, run support, like, versatility. He can play inside. He can play outside, man, zone. Like, it's not like N'Keal where you're projecting a bunch of stuff. Like, this guy was one of the best players in the Pac-12. So, like, to me, like, this is a middle of the fairway pick, and you always, like, the Patriots pattern is always, you know, take the safe guy in round one, roll the dice in round two, right? Like, that's been their pattern for 20 years.
That's worked out.
This is a safe guy.
I mean, it's worked out in the first round.
Yeah.
It has.
Yeah.
That has worked out. The second round,
not so much.
Not so
much. Well, some have. Like, Gronk was a risk, right? Like,
I'm talking corners. Corners. Gronk was two.
I'm saying, as far as taking a risk.
Second round pick.
Gronk was second round pick.
I thought he was a third round pick.
No, Gronk was a second round pick. So, like, you take your risk.
My apologies, Gronk.
But they take their, but Gronk was a huge injury.
Yeah, the back injury and not.
And he tested out poorly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Fell asleep in his meeting.
So I think if you're looking at, like, the guys who are safe, I think McDuffie's in that category. I think Zion Johnson from BC is another one who's in that category where people talk about him like you're getting a really good player regardless. You've got to need a guard.
Yes, you do.
You know, so I think that's the way you want to look at it. Quay Walker's another one I would keep an eye on. I think he goes somewhere in the range where the Patriots are picking. The issue with him is how intelligent he is. Like, and you see a lot of things you like about him. He's versatile. Like, physically, he kind of looks like Hightower. Right. And he's a rare, like, you don't see very many off ball linebackers like that anymore. But, like, you just hear one of the reasons he wasn't able to get on the field very, like, he didn't start until his fourth year at Georgia was because he wasn't picking up Kirby's defense. So, would that be a problem for Bill? Because Bill, obviously, I mean, Kirby's one of Bill's guys.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Bert, should the Patriots be in Jameson Williams? Should they be in on that player?
I think he's unique, and I think you're going to have to wait for him, and that's the problem. He probably goes on the PUP. Like, probably starts the season on the PUP.
That's okay.
I mean, so you're not going to get him till November, but, man, is that guy. Like, he brings a different element, and everybody's looking for the next Tyreek. And, a lot of teams have struck out looking for the next Tyreek. If you look at it, like, the last few years, right, Hollywood Brown was
He's going to be Tyreek?
You hope that that's what he
from a game breaker standpoint. Oh, okay. I understand what you're saying. You're not going to be. He's not going to have cheetah speed, but he's going to be able to affect the game and coverage.
He affects everything. Yeah. Like everything that a defense does is going to be. It could be affected by.
Did you see his workout? I was going to say more. Can he be Jamar Chase?
No, he's not that type of player. Jameson, no.
Okay.
Jamar Chase is like a bigger, stronger. Like he'd be more.
He's
like
more an outside guy.
Jalen Waddle.
Yep. Move him around.
You know.
Move him around in formation.
I mean, I think Bama used Jameson Williams a lot like they used Jalen Waddle. So, like, that would be probably the comp.
Oh, we could get used to that.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you see his workout the other day?
And it would open up. He would compliment Bourne really well, too.
Oh, great.
Yes, he would.
You know what I mean? Because Bourne, I think, people have talked about the need
for a slot.
That's
what they should do tomorrow night, then.
I think Bourne. Make it happen. I think Bourne can play in the slot. Like, I know a lot of people have said, like, well, do you need to get a better slot? I think Bourne can be your slot if you have everything right on the outside.
That sounds so much better to me than drafting.
If anybody wants to have, like, honestly, if you want to get excited for tomorrow night, and maybe they can go up because I think it's going to be a discount. Like moving up, I think that's going to come at a discount because teams are looking to move down, and there's not very many teams looking to go up. If Jameson were to fall, like, and I think this is possible, 12, 13, 14, would you consider a move up then?
Yes, they should. Will they, though?
This is the suspense. See, we're right back to your checkers thing now. Gonna go play some checkers.
Yeah. You know, go play checkers for once. You don't always have to be playing chess. Sometimes checkers can be fun.
Backgammon's fun, too.
Bert loves that line that I drove.
I love it. I've stolen it over and over and over again. Yeah. The Mac Jones, because that was Mac Jones, right? It was checkers.
Yeah.
That was checkers.
I said, how about we
Davis Mills would have been chess.
How about there's
but Mac, right. Mac Jones was right. checkers.
And Davis Mills worked out, I think. Right. I mean, he looks like a decent quarterback.
Yeah.
But, no, just play checkers for once. And they did. They drafted Mac Jones. Just play the checkers game. Sometimes you can have a little fun playing checkers.
Jameson Williams is like...
Have to outsmart everybody.
Jameson Williams is like the YouTube superstar who's checkers.
Yes.
Everybody can see it.
Checkers. Play more checkers. Patriots, 617-779-0985. Let's get right to your calls coming up next with Bert Breer. We'll do that after the headlines with Hardy right now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak
your question. Yeah. Does that attract the female or the male?
Bertrand.
That seems unlikely just based on you don't think a turkey can go that fast.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bert Breer in studio with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. One day ahead of the NFL draft, which gets underway tomorrow night. Patriots with the 21st overall pick. People have a lot of thoughts on this. Let's get to your calls. 617-779-0985. Chuck and Waltham, go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good. This question's for Bert. I was just curious, with this year's top part of the draft not being as strong as last year's, trying to figure out where you would put Mac Jones in this year's draft, what position you think he'd be drafted in. Would he be a top 10, potentially even a number one overall pick?
I think he'd be the first quarterback taken. I don't know if he'd be the number one overall pick, but like the sense I've gotten is most teams think all five quarterbacks that went in the first round last year are better than anybody this year, and I have even talked to teams who would say six of them last year, including Davis Mills. Like, I had somebody, you know, quarterbacks coach with the team, tell me last week, he said, like, if Davis Mills returned to Stanford, he would have been no question the first pick, the first quarterback taken in this year's draft.
I
so
believe that. Yeah.
I think, like, the teams who picked quarterbacks last year look really good now, because if you had waited a year and filled another need, this is a bad year to have a quarterback.
It's also a pretty good job by, if you want to say, to compliment San Francisco with anything. If you do a lot of homework and, you know, you hear the old Pioli verbiage of, you know, we're not only 1 year out in the draft, we're two, 3 years
right.
out.
Yeah.
If you're San Francisco and you're looking at the next two drafts and thinking they're not what last year's draft is going to be, then how valuable are first round picks?
Just think about it. Like, if you look at college football right now, there's no, like, Trevor Lawrence out there that everybody's waiting for. That's the thing. You know, there just isn't one. Now, that might materialize, you know, in the fall, but I mean, you've seen in the past Justin Herbert, but like before he came out, Josh Allen, people were talking about him years ahead of time.
It's no 4 year starter, you know, that's like sitting there saying
Deshaun
that guy.
Watson, yeah. Like there were, like Trevor Lawrence is the most obvious one, but there are, like, it feels like there was for a good 8-9 years there was always one in the hopper, like always one you were like looking a year ahead to and like, okay, that guy's going to go really high. I mean, this year it would be like probably C.J. Stroud from Ohio State and Bryce Young from Alabama, but those guys have questions.
They have limitations.
Like, those guys aren't. I mean, Bryce Young is tiny, and C.J. Stroud was really good, but he had some ups and downs, so he's going to have to be more consistent. So, I think it's, you know, if you're a team that took one in 21, like the Patriots are, you come out of this looking really, really good.
And I think, you know, as this thing goes into the next couple of years, there's so much, there's so many quarterbacks that are impatient.
Yeah.
You know, at the collegiate level, that they're getting all this from this team, that team, that they enter a transfer portal.
Right.
You get some guys transferred 2-3 times. Look at a guy like Joe Burrow. You know, starts at Ohio State, ends up at LSU, doesn't play till the end of his career there. That there's going to be one of those that slips through.
Right.
And you might see more of those type.
I mean, you give Mac credit because he resisted that. Like, he could have been, he was behind Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa when he first got there. And I think a lot of guys in his position would have left, and he didn't. And that's to his credit. Even Joe Burrow, like Joe Burrow stayed at Ohio State for 3 years, you know, and he wound, the reason he left is because Haskins beat him out, and like Haskins a year younger than him. So it's like, okay, like, well, now I have to go. And he graduated from Ohio State, you know? So like a lot of the success stories are guys who stayed where they were and developed under one coach and then wound up, I think, seeing the benefits of that when they were fourth and fifth year players.
Let's go to, Dave in Weymouth. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. I got a very specific scenario for you. I saw a mock draft that had Aiden Hutchinson going to the Jets. Let's say they were to draft him and then, say, grab Jordan Davis with the 10th pick. Would you then, as the Patriots, say, all right, we have to draft an offensive lineman now?
It's a really interesting question because
I love it. Now we're getting deep in the draft weeds.
Yeah, I do think you have to pay attention to what else is happening in your division, and the Patriots have always done that. I don't know that you would do it on draft night, though. Like, I don't know that you would be sitting there and saying, and I don't think Hutchinson's going to get to the Jets, but if they drafted, like, Jordan Davis and Aiden Hutchinson, now you're talking about a completely different dynamic.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a team pivoting on draft night because of something a team in their division did, but the Patriots have always been cognizant of what's going on in the AFC East.
Let's go to Evan in New Hampshire. Hi, Evan.
Evan!
Hey, guys. 21st. So let's say there's three wide receivers available, Drake London, Treylon Burks, and Chris Olave. Who's the best fit for the Patriots?
So Treylon Burks is really sliding, and I think he's going to be there when the Patriots pick.
Arkansas, right?
Yeah. He's had trouble keeping his weight down. Like, he apparently played at points last year in the 240s. He's a good kid, but he's just like one of these bigger bodies. They just can't keep the weight off.
I hear you.
And so he's a slot. And, like, he's probably a big slot in the pros.
Yeah.
I don't think London or Wilson, I don't think the top four are going to get close to you. Like, I think Wilson, Olave,
Olave will be gone top 10.
Yeah, Williams and London, I think, are all gone in the first half of the first round. So if you want one of those guys, I think you probably have to take them high. To me, like, of the second group, maybe the best fit would be Jahan Dotson from Penn State.
What about Mechie?
Mechie's more of a second rounder. Mechie,
again, but I'm talking like second round for the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. Mechie would be a really good fit. I mean, you know, you're not drafting him to be your number one guy. Mechie would be a really good fit. Yeah. Wandale Robinson's an interesting one, too. He's tiny, but he's got like a little bit of Deebo Samuel. Like, you can give him the ball a lot of different ways. Like, so he's sort of a fun one. And then George Pickens.
I forgot about Pickens.
So Pickens,
that kid's a player.
If Pickens, he's got some character stuff.
Yeah,
but
throwing the ball.
But I mean, like, he, like, if like pull up his highlights, he looks like AJ Green.
Yeah,
like, he is one of these, like,
length.
If he had stayed healthy, if he hadn't torn his ACL last year, then I think there's a good chance he's like right up there with any of the receivers in this year's class.
Bert Breer's in studio. Speaking of receivers, what's the latest on Deebo Samuel getting out of San Francisco? And what is happening with those 49ers that Bert loves so much? We're going to find out.
Whoa.
We're going to find out coming up right after this.
Don't be blowing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Rigmarole.
I don't think I can say it.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What the hell's going on with your 49ers, Bert? Deebo wants to get out of there, demanding a trade.
How do you let that guy go?
They've not yet traded Jimmy Garoppolo, as they said they would.
Yeah.
What's going to happen there? Do they have a quarterback in Trey Lance
Do you want to start with Deebo, or do you want to start with Garoppolo?
I feel like they're connected somehow. I feel like this is our theory. Zoe and I have a working theory that Deebo knows that team doesn't really have a quarterback once they move on from Jimmy.
I'm going to be running the ball more than catching
the ball. That's actually an interesting theory, because I do know his role is he basically has instructed his agent not to negotiate with the Niners.
So it's not a money thing.
I don't want to be in the backfield with Trey Lance. I don't want to play college option.
I'm always skeptical when people say it's not about the money. This actually feels like it's money. You might be able to solve it with money, but what's central to the issue isn't money. It's role, and it's two things. Number one, he views himself as a receiver. And by the end of last year, because his role changed, he was really the third wheel in that offense from a passing game standpoint behind Kittle and Ayuk, right?
Absolutely.
So, like, the way he views himself is as a receiver, and
that's not
what he was at the end of the year. The other part of it, the guy had injury issues coming out of South Carolina. That was part of the reason why he slid into the top of the second round.
You beat him up.
And yeah, I mean, like, if you look at the way that he was used last year, it's not like a receiver being used on end arounds and jet sweeps. I mean, Zoe, you saw it. Like, they're like running, like,
they're running off tackle.
They're like running power.
Trey Counter inside, pulling the guard.
Right.
Fall the guard up into the backers.
And so this guy's concerned about his what this is going to mean for his longevity, too. And so, how do you solve that? I don't know. You know, and And I think that that's actually a valid theory, because the one thing I have heard about Trey Lance, and that's where we can transition this, is that he's not ready to run the full breadth of the Shanahan offense. So they're going to have to do some, he can play, but they're going to have to do some things to accommodate him this year. And the hope is that over time, he grows, and eventually you're back to running the offense that you've always run there, but they would have to do some things to accommodate him in the here and the now.
So do you think he gets traded?
Jimmy?
No, Debo. Back to Debo.
No, I don't. Because it sounds to me like they are steadfast. Like they have told teams, don't bother asking. Maybe that changes. And obviously now, like, they don't have to shop him. Teams can just call, right? I had another GM tell me over the weekend that he thinks that it would take 2 first-round picks to even get John to think about it.
I'll forget it.
So
that's stupid.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's teams are – the reason, like, guys are able to get out now, like, the reason, like, guys can kind of push their way out now is because more teams are willing to part with draft picks, right? Like, more teams are willing to part with first- and second-round picks. 5, 10 years ago, like, those were, like, gold for general managers. So now, like, if you're a team that's got a disgruntled player, you have the escape hatch of, well, this team's offering me like a crap load of picks, but I just don't know that other teams are going to look at Debo and say we can get the same value out of him that San Francisco did, because obviously he has a very unique role.
Oh, you don't
role.
Think he would be a great fit here?
Oh, here he would, but does he want to do that? You know what I mean? Like, that's the catch 22 if you trade for him. Isn't it? It's like, if his issue is...
I don't care if he doesn't want to.
No, but if
like,
his...
Okay, fine. You don't do that.
If his issue is the role, then you have to like kind of factor that in, right?
Fine.
Like,
that's okay.
He's still a really good receiver.
His ability as a receiver is...
Really good.
Is really good.
He was, I mean, halfway through the year last year, he was second in the NFL in receiving yards.
And also so the relationship.
It dropped off after that.
You got a great relationship with San Francisco. Like, hey, we handed you a quarterback that basically got you to one Super Bowl and almost...
Yeah, but they're not going
to
take less for him.
I know that. I understand that, but... Yeah.
I mean, you do have a relationship, like, but so you can do a deal.
If they say we're not going to trade him, I think they would take the call from Bill.
They would definitely. They would talk. I mean,
so when are? But to go back to Jimmy, when are they going to unload him?
The problem is that
can't throw.
It's that, but it's also San Francisco likes to win deals. Like the guys who are in charge in the front office there, they like to.
Gee, sounds familiar.
Yeah, and so there's a little bit of that where it's like, I think that they're going to have to compromise a little. Like they want 2 second-round picks. For him, I think they're going to have to compromise off of that. The problem is, like, some of the teams that would be interested, right? So if you're Carolina and Matt Rhule, okay, your job's on the line this year, and I think Jimmy would be a good fit there. But he's not going to be throwing until late June, early July.
Right.
And you think he'll be fine when
risky,
the season starts.
Risky,
but you
risky.
Don't know, right? Like, so what happens if you put your eggs in that basket and then you get to September and he still can't throw? Like, you might get fired because of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that might, you start like 0-4 with Sam Darnold as your quarterback and you got Jimmy still coming back and he isn't quite right yet. Like that could wind up getting you fired. So I think that the shoulder really is a factor here. And, you know, there were obviously some questions on the timing of the surgery too. And whether or not Jimmy was aggressive enough in getting that done, because he did wait and
felt like he held him hostage a little.
Well, yeah, he waited about a month, you know, and so it's going to be interesting. But I think like if something's going to happen with Jimmy, it'd probably have to be with a team that comes out of this weekend without a quarterback and sort of resets maybe on Sunday and Monday. Maybe we see something happen like right around then.
617-779-0985. Burt Breer with us. As we get ready for the NFL draft, Paulie's in the truck today. Hi, Paulie.
Burt Breer, long time no speak, Burt. I couldn't. I heard you were coming on
yesterday.
What's
you, Burt?
I couldn't.
What's happening?
Couldn't wait to. I wanted to hit the fast forward button, but anyway, I think Burt. I think we really got to clean up that offensive line, because if Trent Brown gets hurt, you're going to have a real mess there, because you'll kick Onwenu back out from right guard. He's going to right guard, back out to the right. To right, so you're going to have you lost your two guards. Onwenu can't play the position. You're going to on the left side, the tackle. You are going to have a real mess on your hands. I love McDuffie. But I'm sorry. No, I would concentrate on the offense. I'm taking. I want the kid Cross or Penning. I think they'll be available. And then I want a Salati in the second round. You click. You click. Win inside. and Owenu inside. You take care of your offense. Right. You draft a bruiser of a back later that can really run the ball up in there. And you're going to run the ball. You're going to ball control. You dial it up on D. You sign Trey Flowers.
Catch all that? All right, Polly. Cross will not be available. Cross won't come close to making it to you.
Give me that bruiser of a back you're going to pick later, Bert.
Penning, like, I don't think makes it to you. I don't know about the bruiser or the back. I think they have enough bruisers, don't they?
They got like 8 of them.
Yeah, Stevenson,
why not have another?
They've got Damian Harris. The offensive line thing is worth keeping an eye on. Zion Johnson from BC. The other kid would be Kenyon Green from Texas A&M. Both those guys, I think, are going to go right around when the Patriots are picking. So if there is an offensive lineman that they take there, it wouldn't surprise me if it's one of those guys. The Isaiah Wynn thing's like a sneaky. That's like a sneaky need too, because he's only under contract for another year.
Yeah, I think tackle's a need,
and I think you need to replace him.
OT is need.
Get better there,
right? And so, maybe the answer is that you eventually move him inside. If you're going to keep him past this year, maybe the answer is you move him to guard, and he fills your guard need, and then you draft somebody to be your left tackle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I
think he's got the body to be a guard.
I think there's some merit to that. That's the way a lot of teams saw him coming out, was as a guard, not a tackle. That's why he was available to you where he was available to you.
All right, some more questions about this draft. Big picture stuff, not just Patriots items, but league items. As it relates to the draft, which begins tomorrow, we'll begin that with Bert after headlines. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.